Log Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Salutations, Edward. Good to hear from you.
Cool. And it's good to be heard. It's been a while since the show's been on. It's about, I think we missed 2 weeks. And you've missed actually longer than that.
Yes,
and
I have.
Speaking of missing, we are without our third co-host. He is running late. I guess he suggested 6:30, and I guess he forgot what time he suggested.
Well, I'll give him this. I just got home from work. And the traffic out there on this holiday weekend is ridiculous.
Is that why you needed to do the show earlier? I'm assuming you have big plans and you're taking, knowing you, you're taking the family camping with no electricity, no battery-powered stuff, just you versus nature.
You don't know me very well.
Now, actually, you're the guy who would have the generator going with lights and a refrigerator.
Yes.
And
I know.
Yeah.
And very
and now you're charcoal. I bet you use propane. And propane is such.
No. I'll give you this. I do not use gas on my grilled meats. It's briquettes or nothing else. But that's another story for another time. My wife's idea of roughing it is not ordering room service. So that's kind of how we roll.
Yeah. Well, we are finally joined by our other co-host, who's fashionably late like always. What's going on, Katrina?
Nothing. I have a delicate constitution, and this new time threw me off, and I was on the toilet.
Oh, Katrina.
Anyway. So since we've been gone, honestly, the first couple of weeks, I don't think there was really much going on. But this past week, the internet or Twitter, the wrestling Twitter universe has like imploded upon itself.
That is correct.
Yes, and
I blame Dave.
Basically, what happened is we all know how TNA just recently changed TV stations to Destination America, which I don't get it. I don't think either one of you guys get.
I get it.
Oh, you do? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I don't watch it.
And I'm the one who would watch it because, you know, Mia Yim's on the show, and I don't get it. I have to freaking find YouTube videos. But
it's
anyway,
part part of the Direct TV package, I think, that I got.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I got Time Warner, and it's not part of Time Warner. I should see if it's on demand because, you know what, I don't get El Rey, but I get El Rey on demand, so I get to watch Lucha Underground. I haven't seen all of them, but anyway, going back to the story. So basically, TNA is on Destination America. Things seem to be great at first, but then all of a sudden they start canceling TNA programming, and they decide they're going to move them to a new night. And while all this is going on, there's buyer's remorse going on, basically, and the station decides that after September, they're just not going to renew TNA, and somehow Dave Meltzer is privy to emails from Destination America, and he got the story that they're not renewing after September, or that's the plan of right now. And he posted
also, advertisers don't want to advertise during the show is one of the main things, since it is a highly rated show.
Yeah.
One thing you need to point out.
But, okay, well, I'll get back to that in a second, because that's kind of absurd to me. But basically, TNA fans and TNA, TNA management, and Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins, and Dixie Carter, and all the... If you think Rover's a crazy internet fan, there's even more crazier TNA fans that have lost their goddamn mind. And basically, to them, Dave Meltzer is the devil, and he needs to be sacrificed to the gods. Or something, because it's just going crazy. You know, just all the shit going on. But regarding your point about the advertisers, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't get this in Nation America, but don't the majority of their shows consist of searching for Bigfoot?
And ghosts.
Ghosts. And, like, swamp people and just all kinds of shit like that. So how are these people more attractive than wrestling fans? I mean, basically,
Bigfoot's over with the regular people.
Like, we're lower than fucking Bigfoot? People looking for Bigfoot?
Your wrestling show called TNA, figure it out.
It's true.
Well, guys, I see that we have a call coming on the line.
Sorry, it's the TNA thing.
I can see that this person is going to be very long-winded and go on and on and on and on and on. But I'm going to go ahead and take this. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take this call anyway.
Oh, it's not a TNA thing.
By some miracle, it's actually Rey Mysterio, but I'm sure it's Alex calling to fuck everything up.
Oh, long-winded. How dare you, Ed? How dare you?
It's the truth. I only speak the truth.
So, how deep have you guys delved into the madness that consisted on Twitter last night?
Started the show, Alex. We just started the show, and, you know, of course, you're the first person to interrupt us and bug us. So, we'll let you talk about what you want to talk about regarding TNA fans wanting to murder Dave Meltzer in his sleep.
Well, listen, what's going on, Chris and Craig? I feel like
did you just say what's going on, Craig and Craig?
Chris and Chris. Yes. I feel like I'm the dam that's holding the water back from the conversation about Happy Birthday being sung to Blue Pants at the NST show. But let's talk about last night on Twitter. Fans' reaction to the news that circulated that TNA is not going to be continued this fall on Destination America. And the TNA fans, they've had this relationship with Dave Meltzer, as Dave Meltzer is one of the most well-known journalists, one of the best journalists in professional wrestling. Professional wrestling's not yearned a lot of journalists. And I think it goes to your question from earlier about why do people view pro wrestling in this way? Well, pro wrestling is a big market, but afterward, Ghost Hunters isn't necessarily a big market. So Ghost Hunters, you know, you buy your ads for whatever, it's cheap programming. But it's real bad to have pro wrestling on your dossier company because the fans, they don't poll well, I guess. Anyways, so back to Dave Meltzer. A lot of journalists don't cover pro wrestling. Dave Meltzer is one of the few, and he's really good. And Dave gets attacked whenever he breaks any of these big stories because the fans want to divert to what the company says, which is always comical because it's like if you watch news at all, a journalist will break a story and the organization will immediately go into preservation mode where they'll attack the story, say it's not correct. It's like last night I joked to Dave on Twitter saying, you know, what's the story of the journalist who breaks the big story and then the organization attacks all that Watergate, right? I mean, that's every big story that's ever happened. The journalist gets attacked, but the fans buy into it, and it's an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, it's almost like a kill the messenger type mentality, and it sucks because Dave always gets his facts straight before he reports any news. Him and Brian Bolt never hear something that's and report it as fact before they find out it as fact.
Well, Brian doesn't believe until Dave. So Dave confirms, and then Brian will, you know, write it like he has.
Sure.
He did.
I mean,
the work into it, you know.
There's been times where speculation has been taken as fact, but they've known about this for a long time, and since it's come out, for whatever reason, like I said, it's killed a messenger, and almost blaming the journalist for what has happened when, quite frankly, it's just not a very well-run company.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not sure, you know, Chris, how much you've been around, you know, David, Brian, yada, yada, but I know Craig has a relationship with Brian, and I know Ed, has, you know, has been around him plenty of times, has a relationship with him, whatever, whatever. But it's like, I can, you know, the times I've been around them, and specifically one time when I covered a Bellator event, it's like the Spike representative there walked up to me and told me that they read the Observer in their office. So it's like this comical assertion that, like, Dave and Brian aren't talking to the highest echelon of people. It's like Meltzer the other day felt the need to explain to the person who put in the question about who's he talked to. He's like, you know, I talk to everyone. If I don't talk to everyone, I talk to one person removed. And I think people can't quite wrap their head around it. But it's like,
right.
I can certainly confirm, you know, just that one interaction I've had, plus being around them, you see who comes up and walks and talks to them. And, I mean, like I said, the Spike guy said that they're reading the Observer in their offices. So, I don't know. It's hard for people to imagine that, though.
You know, speaking of that Bellator, who got you that gig, Alex?
it was I represented the Observer, so I think they helped it. I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. You should be buying all my dinners.
I was covering the UFC show, and it never happened again.
I covered two events.
I'll say this. I've known Brian for 18 plus years, and I am in awe of the people that he talks to, and the emails that are exchanged. And if you think Brian just, you know, doesn't know anybody, he knows everybody.
No, he doesn't. He knows Raven, and he gets most of his news from Raven.
Poo-poo my point, Ed.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about the fat Raven. I'm talking about the little skinny ass kids from me.
Bottom line is, the TNA fans make it sound like it's everybody's fault if it's TNA. When they got canceled on Spike, it was because Spike didn't do enough for them. Spike deserves that show for, I don't know how many years they were on there, like 5 or 6 years or something. They put them on fucking Monday nights for 2 hours, for Christ's sake. What else are you going to do? They help them get Hulk Hogan to come in. I mean, it's not that channel's fault, you know.
Yeah.
I have a question, Craig. I mean, what do you kind of think? I mean, I don't know what your personal feelings on the Smashing Pumpkins are, but they kind of came up from that anti-establishment era of rock music. Oh, era of rock music. I guess rock music by nature is kind of, at least good rock music has an era of anti-establishment to it. But, I mean, Corrigan now have kind of this air of, you know, well, I'm a famous guy, of course. I deserve to be on TNA's creative team. And then he's aggressively going after Dave as well, and it's like he kind of built, and maybe it's nonsensical, which I'm sure Ed will tell me it is, but whatever. But to build your bona fides, producing this angst-ridden music, and then to kind of be an establishment guy, I guess, on the other hand, later in life once you've, made your money from it. I don't know, it kind of seems to me kind of like a bait and switch. If, like, Eddie Vedder all of a sudden got into this practice and then people criticized me, he's like, how dare you criticize me? I'm Eddie Vedder and I'm rich, damn it, you know? I mean, that's kind of the way Corrigan comes across. I was interested, what are your thoughts on that specifically?
I never in my life thought I would be seeing Dave Meltzer, Billy Corrigan, shooting on Twitter. And almost getting personal with each other. And that was just one of the most entertaining things. I mean, for God's sake, Dave Meltzer accused Corrigan of being Vince Russo, basically. I don't know what could be a worse insult in pro wrestling. And
I'll say this.
And it's not just... Go ahead.
I'll say this. I have always been a fan of the Pumpkins. I've liked their music, but Billy Corgan, at his core, is kind of a jerk. And I'm cleaning up my language for what I really think about him. He has run through... band members. He can't keep bands together. He does not have one original member in his band except him right now. And it's his way or the highway on all of his music. His first album that they put out called Gish, he wrote everything top to bottom and only got the band together because he needed a touring band. He's very mean-spirited. And it seems that he attacks people that are doing better than he is. One of his targets has been Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam. And quite frankly, they sell out arenas, and he can't sell out clubs right now. So with all of that said, I heard him on Jericho's podcast, and I thought the ideas that he had sounded very good, and I was very optimistic for what he was going to do with TNA. Now he doesn't get that chance. So it seems
himself.
So I can't say anything about him as a booker because I've never seen any Resistance Pro. I mean, Lance would be a good guy to ask about Resistance because Lance did a lot of work for Billy. A couple other folks that I can't think of off the top of my head, but he ran a pretty decent indie promotion for a bit. How does that translate to a major company with television? I have no idea. But the ideas that he brought up on Jericho's podcast, I thought were very intelligent, very well thought out, and very... he was very well spoken, and he presented these ideas of what he wanted to do with characters and who he wanted to push and things like that. So if you want to hear his firsthand account of what he wanted to do with TNA, go find the Jericho podcast from 3 weeks ago.
And I would just like to close on this point. Right now it's about Josh Matthews, but it could be about anyone in the past, any professional wrestler. It's like, I think we like to think that there's like a hierarchy of like jobs, right? And like we're interested in public figures and what they think in their personal life, yada, yada. But it's like, from what Ed does to what Chris does to what Craig does, I think that if Craig Proper had a bad day and started complaining about his job, that would be one thing. But if it was like a constant drone in his social media life for every day Ed was saying about how, how many packages came through and he was frustrated about that. I mean, for these people who get frustrated and they go to social media, I look at it the same way. I understand Josh Matthews having a bad day, but to get on social media and to act like an idiot, only to later, I'm sure you'll figure out a way to, you know, to sell a DVD or con someone into paying you for an interview about it or something. And I look at it much in the same way. It's like, Josh, get off Twitter. You need to have a friend call you and pay to get off Twitter. It's a ridiculous notion that Samoa Joe is completely a TNA creation. The guy, and it was even, I thought, you know, for people who aren't aware of what he said, I can paraphrase is that the only reason TV announcers knew who Joe was is because of his TNA stint. And, I mean, that's almost a, you know, a negative connotation of what he did prior to him being a TNA, like the fact that TNA could make any superstar, right? Which they haven't shown a track record to do. And
if anything, they lowered his value.
Yeah, they
absolutely
took him down.
I agree with that.
Why?
I agree with that. If anything, they lowered his value. And, you know, I think a lot of these professional wrestling people, they need to have good friends who would tell them, hey, man, you need to get off Twitter tonight. You're not exactly representing yourself very well. And
actually, I disagree because I enjoy reading the chaos and everything that ensues from it. It's highly entertaining.
And the reason the NXT announcers know who Samoa Joe was is because on his fucking T-shirt, you idiot. Five takes.
So, Blue Pants, happy birthday song. What emotional reaction was that able to elicit out of you as you read the live results?
Emotions that you just couldn't comprehend, Alex. That's so kind. But the truth is, you're actually not worthy to talk Blue Pants, so I'll talk a little bit more about her later.
But,
this person
ever getting a name.
What?
Or are we just going to identify by our clothing?
I can't understand what you're saying. But anyway, Alex, do you have
anything
else before we
let
you go?
We're going to identify her by her clothing.
As long as she's on on NXT, we're going to be identified by her clothing.
Thank you for having me on, guys. And I have one more point real quick. I understand Sami Zayn was injured, but what did you guys think of kind of the replay of the match they had at the last NXT special? I felt like... I don't know. It's like, yeah, it was a good angle and everything. I was happy to see Joe, but it's like they did that already, right?
It was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
It was more of a match. So.
I don't hear a lot of people kind of making that point to where, yeah, it was they pulled it off very well. All the performers in the angle were incredible. I mean, they're all good wrestlers, but it's like, it kind of left me with a sour taste because, like I said, I had seen this already, but I'm happy to see Samoa Joe in. I'm interested kind of what NXT is doing as far as contracting talent specifically for NXT. I'll be interested to see what results they have with this developmental strategy of presenting high-level independent wrestling while preparing guys to enter into World Wrestling Entertainment. It's I kind of liked where they were going as far as giving WWE guys an opportunity to rebrand themselves as they kind of trained and prepared the next guys to come up to the company. But now it's like they were doing that with the Tyson Kidd, but now they're going in a completely different direction. Like I said, the high-level independent wrestling while preparing guys, I'm interested to see how well that works. And I'd like to thank you guys for having me on, and good show. Good show because I came in on the beginning. So thanks, Ed, for taking
on. The rest of the show will be very well. This part was horrible, but we will talk
and
to you later, Alex.
One more thing, Alex, before you go. Monday is Memorial Day, and I just want to personally thank you for serving our country, and you are a hero.
Well, thank you. Memorial Day is reserved for those that passed away serving our country, so I'm thankful you and I have able to have this conversation because I didn't pass away while serving, but I appreciate the appreciation you've given me. But, yes, please appreciate those who have served our country and passed away, given the ultimate sacrifice, as we say. Very important day.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we're going to let Alex go. And
I never heard much of Smashing Pumpkins. I thought this song was a kick-ass song. That's about it.
Very good song. One of my favorites.
Yes.
Which one?
Disarm.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, that whole album is fucking actually pretty awesome. When the Cancer made the first King of the Board song, it's actually to the music of Smashing Pumpkins, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
That was pretty cool.
So I wanted to ask, did y'all see the latest story come out about the email DC Carter sent? Have you read this?
I did not see that. No, I have not.
Where she referred to the people at Destination America as dummies, and she actually sent it to the president of Destination America.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you have the whole email to read or just that?
No, it's just a report on the board that came from another site, but it's been cited by, it was mentioned on according to the Voices of Wrestling podcast, TNA now has egg on his face that after Dixie Carter inadvertently sent an email to Destination America insulting the network. The host said that a wrestler contacted them and were sent a screenshot from last week which featured TNA president Dixie Carter referring to the suits at Destination America as dummies. The screenshot also revealed that Carter had accidentally CC'd the email to the current president of Destination America.
Vince Russo emailed Mike Johnson from Pro Wrestler Insider.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was Mike Tenay, I think.
Wait. Well, he thought he was emailing Mike Tenay, but he sent it to Mike Johnson.
Basically,
they said the same thing that they're saying now, that it's all lies and it's all bullshit and it's going to turn out to be true, just like that.
Well, that's the thing. It seems that they have their defenses up when anybody says anything negative. That's their first thing, is to defend themselves. And they'll say anything to defend themselves, even if it's untrue. And the fact of the matter is, they shouldn't have been on that station to begin with. They offered TNA a spot. TNA took it because they had to.
Yeah.
Now, as you said, Ed, buyer's remorse, they realize that the programming, while it is doing pretty well, ratings-wise, compared to all their other programming, it doesn't fit on the show. And advertisers are skittish on wanting to buy advertisement on a wrestling program on Destination America. So you're getting it doubly. They don't want to advertise with a pro wrestling program, and it's on a station that not very many people get, and that their advertising dollars aren't well spent there. So who's the dummy?
Well, Destination America, really, because they're the ones that hired them.
True, but they didn't have to take that station. It was the only one they had, and it was their only option. So, you know what I mean?
Well, you can't really call that a dumb move if that's their only option. They did what they had to do to survive. Being dumb would have not taken it and not having no TV and then being dead. At least some guys are getting paid for a few months instead of ending when they were kicked off the spike. So I can't really say it's a dumb move, them going to Destination, because The only thing they could do to survive, they'd be dead without it. They're only prolonging the injury, but, you know, still, I can't say it's a dumb move.
I guess I can say I'll agree with you, it wasn't a dumb move, but it was their only move.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
And it's just not like Billy Corgan fighting with Dave, because Dixie Carter and Dave have been going at it, and isn't Dave, like, threatening, or I don't think he threatened, but he's talking about how he's been passing emails with her forever, and they've been going at it. Eric Young went crazy last night also, basically calling Dave like a fool and stuff, and a lot of the other wrestlers are like, I mean, I can see defending your product if, you know, shit's like not true, but it's like they have to know. I mean, how can they pretend that they don't know, or how can they just so blindly? I mean, it'd be one thing if it was Paul Heyman running TNA and he's feeding them the Paul Heyman Kool-Aid and they're believing. But I don't think Dixie can make Kool-Aid that good. You know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know, you know, it's going to make Eric Young look bad and other people who are defending it like that. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, you talk about defensive. I mean, I've never seen a company or a fan get so defensive about something like this, and almost ever.
I just love the notion that, you know, that Dave's just, oh, he's just making stuff up. Like, I don't think Dave Meltzer got up in the morning and decided, hey, there's no wrestling news today, so I'm going to put a story out that TNA got canceled by Destination America.
Right.
He's not doing that. He's talking to people. There's something behind it. I mean, I almost feel stupid even having to, you know, to approach, to even talk about that, because it's just so idiotic. Makes me feel dumb even bringing it up. So, you know.
The thing with Dave is Dave doesn't break a lot of news, because Dave makes sure that the news, for the most part, is legitimate. I mean, sometimes he'll be wrong, but, like, the difference between him, there's three main reporters. Dave, there's Wade, and there's Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson gets credited for breaking a lot of stuff, because that's what his gimmick is. He's got to break the stuff, and he'll be wrong. Like, he was wrong about Daniel Bryan wrestling on the pay-per-view or on Raw, and
yep.
A couple other things. I mean, he's really been wrong the last couple of weeks about stuff, but his thing is he's got to break it now. And he'll be right a lot of times, but like I say, he'll be wrong. Whereas Dave doesn't want to get that egg on his face, so he's going to reference it and double check, you know, and that's why, you know, we get the news. It's not breaking, but it's more detailed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Last year.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Hey, you showed me a reporter that has never been false information, gotten something wrong. I show you a reporter that don't exist, so, you know.
Or just the simple fact that, you know, a guy said, well, let's take the CM Punk thing and just do a hyperbole. CM Punk at one time said he was going to wrestle on the show, and then he changed his mind, because people do that from time to time.
Yeah, no, but on the internet, when plans change, it means that it was never supposed to happen in the first place, you know?
Right.
So that's just the way it is on the internet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, and the IWC, I hate the term the IWC, because that means that I'm a part of these people that are in this TNA shit, and I ain't, so. I'm sorry.
I'm sure Roman's losing his goddamn mind when he searched dirt sheets, you know, his daily search of dirt sheets to harass people. There's so many people, you know, talking about the dirt sheets having the wrong information. I bet he's probably fucking gone into mental shock, you know, having to respond to all these people and explain to them what a dirt sheet is.
Oh, Robert.
Have I told you my new favorite site? You've been to sheetsandwich.com?
Have not.
Have you?
No.
You were breaking up when you said that. I didn't hear it.
I said, have you been to sheetsandwich.com?
You know, I've read the articles. The articles are actually pretty entertaining. I tried listening to one of the shows, and I got like 5 minutes in. It just kind of bored the hell out of me. There was no...
It goes on the board that you like you miss, and it's like explained on the site. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of reporting
on the people that report on wrestling, it's basically what it is. They had the big story that Todd Martin went to the torch this week. It was the big story of the week.
That's another big social media thing. We talked about that a couple weeks ago where... Basically, Todd Martin got into a big argument with Coughlin on the board, and basically, they both got fired, and one's trying to play a safe face by saying that he did it on his own, but they were both fired.
That's untrue.
I don't know, Craig, because I've heard from other reliable sources that no people involved in this thing, and basically, they're allowing Todd to save face.
Well, that's not the way I heard it. I'm not going to tell you what I heard because I can't, because I've been trusted with that. Let's just say Todd gave the higher ups ultimatums, and that's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. That I can't betray his trust. There was ultimatums given, and basically, in a nutshell, Todd's working for the competition because somebody called his mother fat.
Because somebody did what?
Yeah.
And called his mama fat.
That was the last respect for Todd.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, basically, what happened is Todd called Coughlin. I think he called him a cunt.
Yes.
And then Coughlin was drunk, so he went on this tirade, and like it was like 4 or 5 posts where he's just ripping on Todd. And then the very last one is like something like, "P.S. Your mama's fat." And then Todd just responded with, "My mother's dead, you psychopath." And that was the last thing Todd posted. And then basically it led to Coughlin being out of the site. And now Todd's out of the site. And I just thought it was so hilarious the way Todd and Wade were plugging this. Like, he's this fucking Chris Jericho free agency during the Monday Night Wars. Like, you know what I mean? Here's the thing about Todd Martin. Okay. Actually, I could say a lot of things about Todd Martin. Okay.
I'm saying nothing.
I listen to his show with Brian. I listen to it every week. Because I enjoyed the Absorvor parts, because they would read the shit when Dave was a dick and talk shit about everybody. And that shit was very entertaining. The other thing I would kind of enjoy from the show was basically Brian trolling Todd into them screaming and yelling at each other. That was entertaining. Okay. Not everyone likes Todd. There's a lot of things that Todd says. Todd would make me mad because he would make me agree with Brian, for one thing. And that's just a no-no. But the thing is, they had the chemistry. It just worked with Brian just being the troll dickhead during these shows. Okay, now he's going to wait. Okay. They're going to do straight-up serious news talk. Todd is not that fucking interesting. Can't do the Absorber anymore. You know, there's no way they will allow that. Was he going to read old torches? But Wade never talks shit like that. You know? And then Wade is not going to be like, "Hey, Todd, you don't know how to pick UFC. You're this, that." He's going to be like, "Hey, Todd, what are your thoughts on this? Hey, Todd, give us your ideas for this." And Todd is just a fucking boring ass person on his own. And they may have got 20 people to sub because 20 people to sub, but they're not going to stay because it's not the same show. It's totally different. It's not going to work. I mean, if you like Todd Martin that much, fine. Go ahead. You know, like, I listen to the show with Brian, but I'll be damned if I'm going to join the Torch to listen to Todd Martin. That's just not going to happen. And, you know, regarding this whole situation, I don't think I've ever met a man who's more thin-skinned than Todd Martin. And I've met the man personally. Basically, to get him to start coming to these Vegas trips, I basically had to apologize to him because I said mean things about his Raw reports on the board. And when I asked him why he didn't go to any of the things, he's like, well, why would I go when you say all these things about me and this and that? And I don't know. So basically I had to apologize. You know, not that I wanted to, but it's like, here's somebody from the site. If she's there, he should be going. You know what I mean? I'm sure people would want to meet him. So I apologized to get him there. I was also right there with Doc G and Todd Martin. Basically, we're walking outside of Madison Square Garden, walking one way, and here comes Todd walking toward us. And basically, Doc G yells, hey, it's Todd Martin. And he puts his hand out, and Todd Martin just sees Doc G, knowing that he's friends with Mike Coughlin, who's been feuding with Coughlin for years, and says, I know who you are. Even though he's met Doc G a couple times and been friendly with him, now because I think Doc had made some comments about that cerebral palsy thread where Todd was being a dick about that kid winning that match or whatever. And he's like, I'm not shaking your hand. And he just stormed off like a total fucking cocksucker. And I'm just standing there like, what the fuck? But that's how thin-skinned he is. I don't think I've ever turned anyone down to shake their hand before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can be an asshole. So, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That just makes it even worse for
Todd.
I don't
think
Borg
shit seriously in the first place. I wouldn't care
yeah.
if somebody said to me. Shit.
Yeah.
But
that's just
he does, like, yeah, like, I remember one time, I forgot what it was, but basically, I made the comment that Todd Martin's gimmick is he's a wrestling snob, because that's how I felt how he wrote the Raw reports back in the day, like he was a wrestling snob. He responded with like a 5-paragraph insult, talking about how like all these people go to Vegas, I think they're my friends, but they talk shit about, oh yeah, I know everyone makes fun of me, I don't give a fuck. But, you know, he just went on and on. He just cannot handle criticism. So if what you say is true, I can see him making demands, because I can see, oh, it's either him or me, because he has that high opinion of himself when he really shouldn't. And every time I've met the dude myself, he's been cordial to me in person. I can't say anything bad about him as far as, like, being a dick to me or anything. But what I see and how I see how he reacts, you know what I mean? It's just, I almost want to say he's like a ticking time bomb. Because the first time Wade says something that pisses him off, Wade's going to get an email, like a 2-page email, wanting like an apology and this and that and that. And, don't even be surprised if he doesn't last that long at the torch. Because Wade is pretty thin-skinned himself, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I just laugh because it's like, I mean, who the fuck is Todd Martin really, dude? I mean,
I don't know that I've ever listened to an entire show with him on there. I didn't know, like, he was this big, like, he was supposed to be some kind of big thing on the, like, internet and wrestling and stuff, that it's, like, a big deal. He went someplace else. I don't know. I never got it, so.
Well, it's not a big deal. That's why you don't get it. You know, but they're acting like it is, and it's like, really, Todd Martin, I mean, honestly, I think more people would switch over to the torch if, say, Craig went to the torch.
I wouldn't.
Thanks.
Next time Brian pisses me off, I should threaten to tell him that no more F4W Vegas convention. Is next year is going to be the first ever torch convention.
Oh, my God. You have to have some cocaine to have a party there. Jesus Christ.
I've never met Todd, and I've had very little conversation with him. I don't have an opinion about the man at
all. You met Todd? He was at Brian's wedding.
Oh yeah, that's right. I did. Okay.
He's a giant dude who looked like the bad guy from The Invincibles.
Anyway,
he does.
I've never met the man except for once. I've never had long, in-depth conversation with him. I have nothing bad to say about him.
But all you idiots on the board blaming Brian for this, stop. That's all I'm going to say. Just stop. Because it's not correct.
And then the best part of Todd's tweets is that's a suitable fuck you to Brian when he gushes over Dave Meltzer. Oh, I was so happy to work for Dave Meltzer for all this time. And then he had, when the chips are down, you find out who your real friends are, and it's like, the motherfucker gave you the show in the first place when he didn't have to. You know what I mean?
First off, in life in general, we're talking about professional wrestling. Okay, when the world finally falls off its axis, the first thing I'm going to forget about is professional wrestling. You know what I mean? It's so minuscule, and I know people are very passionate about it, but we're talking about fake stuff. And to fawn over journalists as covering fake stuff, I don't understand. In the grand scheme of life, pro wrestling, you know what I mean?
It feels like a hobby.
Exactly. I don't know. It just.
I mean, no to anybody here. I love doing this show, but I don't look at it as anything more than a hobby. Just something I enjoy doing every week. You know?
Exactly.
So,
it's something I like.
I mean, I'm not looking for bigger things is what I'm trying to say. You know, it's just something I enjoy to do.
And if pro wrestling stopped tomorrow, my life would go on. You know what I mean? It's so minuscule in the grand scheme of life itself.
I'll be honest, I spend a lot of my time these days putting my wrestling video library together. That's only because I want shit to watch before I die. You know, one day there's going to be, at the end, there's going to be a recliner, a TV, and a DVD player for me, and then death. And I'm going to need shit to watch before I go. So that's what I'm doing.
But don't misunderstand me. I love wrestling. I love this business. I love doing the shows that I do. It brings me joy. But
when you're quitting and you're like basically going to the competition, it's just
right.
To me, when I read that, it's like that. Fucked up, you know what I mean?
People take this fake sport so very, very seriously. You know what I mean?
Well, not even
like
just
people
the
that
sport,
get mad because you don't call it a sport.
Well, isn't that just a sport? It's not the sport they take serious. They take themselves too goddamn serious.
That's very true.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you're going to get criticism no matter what. People are going to troll you no matter what. And if you can't fucking take it, then maybe you shouldn't put yourself in a situation where you're going to be listened to by a bunch of people. You know what I mean? It's just...
Right.
It's just absurd. I mean, it's just like... The man is a... He's a grown-ass man who's a lawyer. He's acting like a 5-year-old. And there are people who are going to defend him like crazy. There's like one guy from here in San Antonio on the board. Goddamn, I can't think of a name. I'm totally blanking. But me and him we didn't get into an argument, but we passed tweets about the situation. And he's so pro Todd, and Brian made a mistake, and this and that. And it's like, that's your opinion, and you're entitled to it. But you know what I mean? You're getting, like I say, there's four different stories. There's four different stories. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's four people telling it to their confidants, basically. There's a Brian story, there's a Todd story, there's a Tony story, and there's a Coughlin story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
I get all that.
And there's the truth?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little truth to all of them. And I'm sure there's a lot of bullshit to all of them.
It's...
I'll say this and I'll stop. Brian did Todd a favor by not speaking of it. Todd asked him not to. And he took so much heat from his readers because he did what Todd wanted him to do. And I didn't think that was fair. And
then Todd still gives him the big fuck you on the way out.
Like I said, that's all I'm going to say about it. People that are all upset with Brian and butthurt with Brian, you need to stop because you just don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, we've devoted enough time to
yes,
Todd
we
Martin.
Have. A little bit too much, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, people want to know, so we gave them a little bit. We've talked about the TNA.
Yeah, but anyway, everybody go to, if you want to know the reason story, go to sheetsandwich.com. There's a bunch of shit up there about it. it's pretty damn entertaining, and they do those observer segments on that. They get an audio they do on that site now, the segments that Todd was doing. So that's pretty fun too. They had the story about Big being upset about his picture. They had a story on that.
On the Bix?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like I say, the article.
The headline was Bix and Span faces image issues at F4W or something like that.
Yeah, the articles, like I say, the articles are funny as hell. The time I listened to the audio, there's nothing that hooked me.
It's good when I miss stuff on the board, then I can go catch it up here and I have to face through a bunch of shitty threads. So, anyway.
Okay, fellas.
Well, the other news of the week would be...
Hold on, before you get started, I'm going to bow out right now. I've got stuff to get to, and that stuff is my weekend. So you guys do the NXT report and all that without me. And hey, have a great holiday. And again, I know Memorial Day, as Alex said, is about those that have passed. But I can't say thank you if you're gone. So if you've served our country or are serving our country, thank you so much. And with that, guys, I'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you next week at a reasonable hour.
we'll see. All right, good night.
I think he got fired up.
But Dave Meltzer are getting terroristic threats. The TNT. I think, I go to the board to read everything. I don't go into the things like TNA fan site because
if you want to follow the fanatic TNA fans, just follow Rover on Twitter.
I mentioned something about Rover yesterday and earlier this morning, and I went there and looked at some stuff and.
I think people are crazy about stuff.
I never cared like when it comes to wrestling or really anything else for that matter. I never cared if somebody doesn't like what I don't like, or you know, dislikes what I like. I'm not that big of an idiot. I don't care. It's, as long as I like it, whatever I like in wrestling. If you don't like it, I don't care. I'm not gonna put up a stink about it because somebody doesn't like it. That's what TNA fans. That's the main thing about TNA fans is if you don't like it, then you like this horrible person or you're a WWE fan or some stupid shit like that.
They're like the ISIS of pro wrestling fans.
Like something. I just know that September is going to be very fun, and I can't wait. So when it becomes official, and the story will be, well, it wasn't official back then when that was reported, but some stuff happened during the interim, so now, and they were just leaving the network or some stupid shit. Put your mouth breather shit.
Yeah. But
anyway.
One thing about Craig not being here is it's going to make the NXT review a little harder because, honestly, I only saw the first half of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we'll just finish what we were talking about on the last show, which would be the Super Clash. But I will say one thing about the NXT. Mm-hmm. I think I saw the most awkward spot I ever seen in my life in that women's tag match.
What was that?
Well, when basically Charlotte had to figure eight on Emma, and mm-hmm. Dana Brooke rushed in there a little too fast and got to them. Like, basically, she was going to try and break it up, and Bayley was supposed to baseball slide under Charlotte and then give Dana the belly.
Oh, was she doing the bridge?
The Bayley. Yeah.
Was she doing the bridge?
So,
yeah.
But Dana just hauled ass and got there way before, you know, she's got to slide under. You can't just run real fast. So Dana got there real quick. So she basically had to stop what she was doing and wait for Bayley to slide underneath the two of them and then hit the move. And she stood there with her arms in the air like a complete idiot for, like, seemed like 3 seconds. Probably not that long, but it seemed like it was that long. But I just laughed my ass off at that.
I thought that the woman, the Sasha and what was the match? Sasha Banks and what was the other girl's name?
I'm bad Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, yeah. I thought that was the best NXT women's match I've seen. I thought it was better than Charlotte and Natalya.
Like I say, I got to see it, but I'm almost going to guarantee that it was not better than Mia Yim versus Athena at Chick Fight in Sacramento, San Jose. But
just real quick on the NXT thing, it was a very good show. I was kind of shocked, but then I wasn't with the Joe thing because he had been hearing rumors about it. But I think it's pretty cool, and he's in pretty good, damn good shape too. So.
Yeah, he looked like he was in better shape in San Jose than what I had seen of him in TNA. You know, he had let himself go in TNA.
And it was kind of shocked just because of it felt like a TNA invasion because he was like a big name in TNA one time, but you know, and then they've never been too high on using the TNA people. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about NXT before we go back to Superclass. Okay. You're talking about this match, right? You said it was the best women's match they've done, right? Basically, you know how, like, they tape for what? They tape basically, like, 4 episodes a show. I think before WrestleMania, they actually even did more. But basically, for the most part, they do a show. They tape 4 weeks of TV. Okay.
Yeah.
You've had Sasha. She's been a champion. She's been all over the TV. They've been building her pretty good. And then they go and they have the throwaway match on the NXT special. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the next day after the special, they did their TV filming. You know, that they taped TV for 4 weeks. Do you know that Sasha Banks is not on one of those shows?
Oh, she is?
And it's like, no, she didn't. You know, maybe they'll add some backstage vignettes or something, but as far as
she doesn't
wrestle and she doesn't come out live.
Well, they weren't pretty much. They weren't really showing like her hurting her arm in the match, so maybe that's why.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Maybe, but like I say, it's kind of weird. Do you think you'd have her come out and do something?
Yeah, but and they were doing this. That's one thing about the match. They were doing big sell jobs, but that her arm being like really hurt. So that may be in. Then maybe just doing like some backstage or, you know, some tape videos or something, tape interviews, stuff.
So. You know, they stole that storyline, though, from the week before, from the Shine main event, Mia Yim versus TNA Brittany Santana Garrett, because basically early in the match, it's actually funny because I've seen them wrestle twice before and they've had great matches. But this one, Brittany or Santana, was off in the beginning, like she was off on everything, so it's not starting off that great at all. And then Mia Yim does a top rope drop kick or something. I forgot what exactly it was, but she landed funny. And then for about 15 minutes, she sold her leg like she blew it out, like tore almost fucking every fucking thing in her knee or something. I mean, she tried to walk it off for like a long time outside. I mean, she fucking sold this thing nonstop the whole match, and so that's where they got that arm spot from NXT. They're stealing shit from Shine.
And another thing about the women's match, and especially the singles title match, it's absolutely stupid, just on the surface it would be stupid of me to think this way, but I would be very sad when they get called up to the main roster and have to do 2 minute matches every week, you know?
Well, they did. They are starting to replace, because they did sign Jesse McKay, who's actually very good, and she's actually gorgeous, from Australia. And then the other one they signed, Casey Cassidy, a Lance Storm student from Australia. She's also very pretty, and they're both decent. So it doesn't look as bad as it did a few weeks ago when it was only the four, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, because Carmella and Dana, and I like Alexis, because, God, Alexis is so goddamn cute, and I do see potential in Alexis. But as far as Carmella and Dana, they're not very good. And then they have the two of them working on their characters, right? You got Carmella, basically. And you got Dana Brooke, who's trying to be just some fucking, you know, cocky bitch or whatever. And they got their little dances, and they got all their little hand gestures. But the two of them have no idea how to connect to anyone in the audience. They just go out there and they're doing their robotic routine that they're taught and told to do. But the reason no one cares about the two of them is because, like I say, they have no idea how to interact with the crowd. They just do, you know, they're just doing their parroting, basically, mm-hmm. what they're told. You know, that's why fucking Blue Pants is so much fucking over than them, and that's why every time the two of them come out, people chant Blue Pants, is because, you know, Leva is a good worker. She's not in the class of Mia or Ivelisse or even Sasha. As far as, like, she can hang. If she's in there with them, she can have an awesome match with them. But you put Leva in a match with someone who's bad, it's probably not going to be that great. And that's me saying that, you know, I'm her biggest fan. But,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But the thing that she does better than anything is she knows how to get over. Like, she's the most over wrestler in Shine, even though they don't push her like she's the top person. And you can say she got over in the first time, but it's not going to, it wouldn't have sustained. You know what I mean? Basically, if you've seen the TV, you've seen she's as over, even not more over than Sami Zayn at times on some of the appearances. And they didn't have her on the last taping, but she hadn't been on TV in over a month, probably even longer. They had her on yesterday, and she was still the most over person on the show. And then they were actually cool. Pretty cool. It was her birthday yesterday. So after her match, she lost to Emma, but after the match, they had the ring announcer come in the ring, the whole crowd that sing happy birthday, and they even put on the big screen, gave her a celebration thing. I thought that was pretty awesome for them to do. And but, you know, she knows how to connect, and she knows how to play to the crowd, and that's why she's over, and that's what Dana and Carmella don't know how to do at all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, to me, it just barely does enough. You know what I mean? She's, you know, she could improve on that too. You know, but luckily she's Charlotte, you know what I mean? But they need to, like I say, they need to bring in more experience. If they want to make this a hot brand and keep it hot, they need to keep an influx of, okay, Finn goes up, Joe comes in. You know what I mean? If Tommy goes up, they need to sign Ricochet. You know what I mean? Shit like that. They
mm-hmm.
pick up stuff. They need to sign Mia. They bring up Charlotte. They need to bring in Ivelisse. You know what I mean? They need to replace them, or else it's not going to stay a hot thing. It's going to go down fast, because people, they don't like bad wrestling. Especially bad wrestling when they don't care about the people who are doing it. You know what I mean? That's where NXT has this line. They're like a club. Guys and girls, really, you know what I mean?
You're kind of breaking up there.
Yeah.
You're kind of breaking up. I said you're kind of breaking up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Does that sound better now?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
The thing about NXT to me is when you get away from, like, the women and, like, you know, like, the main stuff with, like, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, also, like, some of the undercard stuff, like, stuff with Finn and Tommy and Tyler Breeze. There's not much there, at least not for me. You know what I mean?
Tag team champions, they're pretty bland. I mean, they don't really – I mean, now they got Alexa, that's cool, but they don't really do anything for me. Baron Corbin doesn't do anything for me. Once you've seen Bull Dempsey a couple of times, you get used to it, and then it's like, whatever.
The only reason I didn't have the Corbin match is because Rhino was in it, and I always liked him, so.
Yeah.
As well, I was interested in it.
Yeah, exactly. So they need to keep doing, you know, what they're doing with, like, Samoa Joe and Rhino and Brian Kendrick and Blue Pants, and add people to that, you know, like, this Samoa Joe contract should be a precedent. And now they should maybe not pay as much, but, you know, give that deal to Leva. Give that deal to Rhino. You know what I mean? Let them make some money, and they will see you whenever you need them. They're your first priority. You need them on the show, they're on the show. But other than that, let Rhino go do Tommy Dreamer shows. Let Leva do Shine and Shimmer. Let Kendrick, you know, do what he does. And then come wrestle every once in a while. They should definitely do that and be more open to that. And, you know,
kind of like in the old, like in the old world class, they had the open door policy where people from the other organizations came in, like for a week or so, or just up off and on. It kind of reminded me of that. I mean, just bringing in different guys with not so much a plan to bring them like to the main roster, although they could if they wanted to, you know, he got over good enough and worked out. But, yeah, and especially since they're touring so much now, you know, you want to have people like that. So.
Yeah, like, I didn't think Rhino was going to be as good as he's been. You know, he's been a good surprise. He looks like he could go back on the main roster, really. I don't think they'll do that, but, you know. And the more opportunities for jobs, the better. I mean, especially if TNA goes under, you know what I mean? Bring some of those guys, give some more of those guys the Joe deal, you know, maybe it'll work out. If it doesn't work out, you're not giving them you're giving them some money, but you're not contracted to give them money, like, you don't have to give them a downside, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they can still do their other things and make money, make a comfortable living, so hopefully they'll do more of that.
It really, NXT is the top independent promotion out there, if you think about it, at this point.
The what? Yeah.
The top independent promotion, even though it's not really, but, you know, how they make it look, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Now, going back to the
it's kind of like out ROH, ROH, you know? Kind of like that, so.
They're trying to. They got, like, more buzz, but they're really, like, ROH light because, like I say, it's only the top matches that are ROH quality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it seems like the main events and stuff, they have the ROH feel to them. You know, kind of like those long, epic, like, title matches or whatever. So.
Yeah.
And I do want to see Kevin Owens wrestle Steven William Regal. I think that would be pretty good.
But let's go ahead and finish talking about Super Clash. Because I think we got cut off during the Women's Battle Royal. So there wasn't much.
It's been so long, I forgot we actually got cut off from that show.
But yeah, we were talking about the women's match. So basically, after the women's match, the next match was the Indian strap match between Wahoo McDaniels and Manny Fernandez. Unfortunately, it's not a young Wahoo and a young Manny Fernandez. It's a very old Wahoo and over the hill Manny Fernandez.
Manny was still, I don't think he was that older. Much older was he?
Which one, Manny or Wahoo?
Yeah, I don't think Manny was that old at the point.
But it's when he was on his downside. He was starting to gain weight, and he was starting to not be in the major promotion.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And and Wahoo was over at the time. And they did okay. It wasn't bad because they knew what they're doing, and it was pretty fucking bloody. I mean, they, you know, Manny's always been a bleeder. He had that scarred up forehead, like maybe a year or two into the business. San Antonio would do that to you.
Right.
And then Wahoo, you know, Wahoo just don't give a shit. He fucking. How do you not scream and yell and just beg God for mercy when you have a fucking piece of razor blade stuck in your head going deeper and deeper and cutting you deeper and deeper and making you bleed and bleed and just keep going about your business like nothing's going on?
Yeah.
Probably after a bunch of aspirin and drinking a couple beers.
This effect, you get a blade lodged in your forehead. It's just wild to me. You know,
I can't think of me just, all I can think about would be me screaming and jumping up and down, screaming, running around, just begging someone to help me or kill me, put me on my misery. So basically, I don't even remember who won the match, honestly, but.
I think it was probably Wahoo, because I'm thinking it was just one of those drag poking into the four corners. And Wahoo didn't lose many of the matches. Is it just me or does Andy Fernandez seem like he's an asshole in real life?
Well, just because he's one of those storytellers. He's like Bobby Jaggers was. Bobby Jaggers was that. I don't think anyone bullshit more than Bobby Jaggers. But Jesus Christ, the dude trying to fucking portray that he was Manny Fernandez from the Miami Dolphins. Undefeated, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now he'll say, I never brought it up. It was the announcers and this and that. I didn't. Whatever, man.
I think he also claims he was in Vietnam.
Yeah, he did. He was. Yeah. That's where he learned the best.
He was good at promos. Like when he was a babyface, I thought he was like really miscast because his promos. He was so fucking obnoxious. He sounded like a dickhead.
He was great. I do remember after the match, he was still beating up on Wahoo, and Fujinami actually made the save.
In this match?
Yeah, you don't remember that?
I remember Fujinami was there and turned him on, put him on pay-per-view.
No, he was. He saved Wahoo from being beat up by Manny, and it looked like they were going to set up a match between, like, if there was another pay-per-view, it was going to be Manny against Fujinami.
Yeah. And, I mean, you had Fujinami there, and he was willing to work, but they didn't want to put him on the show or something like that. So I guess maybe that's why they did that.
Yeah. And then we come, the main event, but it actually wasn't the last match on the show, but basically we get to the famous match. And this is, like I say, the match that caused me to have to get a fucking part-time job at Wendy's so I could pay for fucking pay-per-views because my mom was so goddamn pissed off. Carry on, Eric got ripped off that she refused to ever pay for another fucking pay-per-view. And that was...
This match really started in the dressing room. Kevin Eric tried to scratch himself.
Yeah, he's trying to scratch himself with his blade and cut his bicep wide open. And you can tell he's favoring his arm, getting into the ring. And then one of the first spots is basically Jerry grabs his arm and, like, bangs it against the fucking cable or the rope.
It's like the very first thing he does. He grabs his arm and, like, rams it. Like, I think it's, like, on the chain between the turnbuckle and the ring post. I think he rams it on there.
The ropes.
Maybe, I can't remember, but I know it's like it was so weird because it's like the very first thing that happens is, okay, I gotta do something to this guy's arm. Because in the story, like in later interviews, Peter Viner would say that Jerry Lawler fan stabbed him on his way to the ring or something like that. So that's why he was bleeding. But geez.
Yes, he's leading right off the
this
bat.
This is because it's like most guys back then, they would take their blades to their fingers or something. You know, I guess it was easier to. I always found it wild when I heard that people carried their blade in their mouth. It just seemed like dangerous.
I know,
to me.
It's like I would never do that in my fucking life. No fucking way am I putting a razor, fucking any piece of razor in my mouth.
And most of them is like, well, they used to wrap it in their like their wrist tape. I know that. Like when guys would take their wrist tape off and they would have their blade in there. That's where they would do that.
Yeah.
In their mouth. I mean, I always thought that was crazy.
That is.
Swallowing it and cutting my throat or something. I had to go to the hospital.
Yeah. And then what's funny is when I watched this match when it happened, I was oblivious to the foot. You know what I mean? I was oblivious to the fact that the foot never moved. The foot was always straight. I didn't see that.
Yeah. I always noticed that. I thought he had like a special brace that he wore because one of his boots looked like it was just like straight. Instead of like the other one, you know, the kind of.
It was weird. I figured he just had like a hurt foot, you know, and that's what kind of changed things. But I never noticed it just being straight. And then it's after he died, and you finally have the foot, and then you walk, it's like you can't see but the boot not moving.
It was only like a few months before that when they had the match with Colonel De Beers in Las Vegas, and he grabbed Kerry by the foot, and its boot came off, and there was no foot inside the boot. Did you ever hear the story?
Yeah, but then that's back before, you know, the internet or whatever, so it was kind of a slow going story. So it's like you heard about it after the fact. And
The one that did hear about it was WWF, because they had tried to get the pay-per-view canceled because of Von Erich doing this sporting event and only having one foot. I remember that.
Wow. But yeah, so
like an AWA pay-per-view is going to do that much of a big, like that much business, which it didn't. So.
Yeah. I mean, shit, no one fucking got paid but Vern, basically. So basically, Kerry's, you know, wrestling this match was basically nothing below the ankle. And like I say, you probably maybe noticed a little bit, but this match, to me, this is a 5-star match.
This was a great match. And not that there were so many big moves or anything, it was just a lot of psychology-wise.
It was all psychology. I mean,
yeah.
Did you ever see an object? The whole match, did you ever see anything?
All I saw was Jerry Lawler made it look like an object because he kept in his hand in his tights, like the old school heel thing.
You don't know if he had a chain. You don't know if he had brass nuts. You don't know if he had a roll of coins.
Yeah.
And I don't think he did. I think it was all his fucking hand. And he was fucking awesome at fucking just playing it, like hiding it or trying to hide it, and everything he did was awesome. And, you know, the thing about Kerry is people laugh when they ask me, who's the greatest sellers in wrestling? Okay, the greatest sellers in wrestling, Ricky Steamboat, Ricky Morton, Barry Windham, and Kerry Von Erich. And people kind of scoff at that. But the fact is, how many wrestlers, besides the Kerry Von Erich and with that physique, could get sympathy the way Kerry Von Erich did? The dude was, you know, he had so much fucking sympathy when he was getting beat on. Like I say, my mom was so pissed off I had to fucking get a job.
He fucking looked gruesome. I mean, at that point, it was like the worst thing I ever seen. Like, busted open wise.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting crazy. I mean, he used the blade on the right spot. I mean, he gave himself a gusher because he was just covered in blood. But
they took the finish, you know, they were trying to do better than the NWA because they did that same finish in Baltimore with Flair and Luger that year. You remember?
Kind of.
At the Great American Bash, you know, when Luger had that little cut on his forehead and they...
Oh, when Joe Louis? Oh, wait. We had a Dusty match.
That was Starcade, the 1 year with Ian Flair for $1 million. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, where Joe Louis like or Joe Frazier stopped the match because Dusty had a little blood and it was barely anything.
Yeah, but this was like the big great, the first Flair Luger match in the NWA after Luger left the Horseman. It was like the main event of the Great American Bash, and he had him in the torture rack, and he had a little trickle. Actually, it looked like he popped a pimple or something. He wouldn't even cut that bad.
Gary was a much better bleeder than Lex Luger and Ruster. And so the match is, it goes back and forth a little bit, but for the most part, it's Lawler getting the heat. And he's, like I say, the imaginary object in his head. And Kerry always kind of fights back, and basically Kerry is just covered in blood. His hair, his whole face is just dripping. And finally he gets the claw on Jerry Lawler. And he's got it on, and Lawler's going out. And it looks like the referee is almost going to stop it for Lawler being out, but then he keeps looking at Kerry's head, and Kerry's shaking his head like, get away from me, I'm all right. And he keeps looking, and finally he calls for the bell. And everybody thinks Kerry Von Erich's the new world champion because he put Lawler out. But the referee actually stopped the match because Kerry Von Erich was incapacitated because he was bleeding so much, even though he had his main move on Jerry Lawler in the center of the ring.
That was stupid. Okay, wait until, like if you're going to call for the bell, at least wait till the hold is at least broken. You know,
It
looks so stupid when he's calling, when he's checking the guy, when he's got the other guy in his main hold. And I just thought that was dumb.
Yeah.
But he's all his shoulders down. He's a one, two, and then he comes up and he starts looking at Kerry's head. Oh, he's stupid.
Yeah, and then they had Ken Mantell. He's all right. He bleeds all the time.
Frank Dusick, that's
right. It's Frank Dusick, yeah, my bad. And
then Lawler did the weird promo afterwards. He said if he wouldn't have stopped it, then Kerry Von Erich then Kevin Von Erich would be missing a brother. Okay, that's probably not a good thing to say.
And then he was talking about how he would have took his eye out, and the referee saved him and did the right thing. And basically what happened is Stanley Blackburn, who was the Jack Honey of the WWA, had saw so much blood in the match before that he told the referee that if there's that much blood, to stop the match for their safety. And it's all Wahoo and Manny's fault, the sons of bitches. And then basically nobody got paid. Lawler never went back to the AWA, and the USWA was pretty much formed. And it was, like I say, it was an awesome match, but it was also the match that probably pissed me off more than any match in the history of fucking humankind.
Yeah, I think that Lawler was a really good AWA champion at the time because he would go everywhere to defend that title. You know, he went to World
Playoffs. It wasn't that long, though.
Well, he won it in May, and then, you know, they stripped him up in, like, January of 89. So, but he was a good work. Plus, it had been built up for years, him winning that going after that title. It was kind of a big deal when he won it. So.
Yeah. Like I said, too bad it didn't last too much longer after that. And I'm sure he'll tell
you.
He
was going on TV and talk about how he's a real world champion, and Flair and Macho Man aren't real world champions because they only wrestle people in their own promotion. When Lawler was like going to Japan and Continental and Texas and Florida and wherever to defend the title. And I think he took it so seriously that he was going to send the AWA title back to Vern to crown a champion that would be the number one contender to his unified world title. And that's how he kind of slipped from the AWA. So.
Yeah, and it was a good idea. Like, the show and everything was a good idea. It's just you had the wrong people in charge. You know, you had a fucking whole room full of generals trying to be in charge, and it just was destined to fail, and it pretty much did. Didn't really
I look back at the AWA. Like, I've watched so many, have been, like, followed so many promotions over the years. AWA is the only one that I don't know if it was ever cool to watch the AWA. if that makes any sense.
It just doesn't. They have the Road Warriors.
Looks like
the Road Warriors.
Yeah, but the crowd never looked. The crowd just looked kind of like old art, like kind of an old parts promotion. A lot of points, you know.
Well, by the time you were watching it, yeah, that's pretty much what it was. But I mean, it's had its moments over the years.
Yeah, but I mean, I just never saw it being the popular promotion. I mean, there were people in it that were popular, but just overall, I mean, the most exciting AWA stuff I saw was when they were doing stuff for the NWA with World Class, when they had people from outside coming in, you know. So
yeah. But we're down to our last 3 minutes, so let me get out the plugs. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrere and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
You go to YouTube.com/Cotrere. I've got a bunch of classic wrestling, and I've been getting this thing in the last few weeks. I've been watching some old horror movies. I've been I'm like a big slasher movie fan. I've been going back and watching like old Friday the 13th movies and stuff like that, and some of the Nightmare on Elm Street. And I got a playlist up there that has every kill from the Friday the 13th series on there. If anybody wants to go check that out. It's pretty cool. And there's also another playlist that has, like, that somebody put together. It has, like, the 100 most gruesome horror movie deaths in history. So go up there and have a ball. I enjoy watching
it. Yeah, you're a very disturbed individual.
Oh, whatever. I like seeing that shit, man. I like the special effects and people dying and stuff. I can't help it.
Have you seen the new Mad Max yet?
No.
No.
I never been into Mad Max. I never liked those movies. I thought it was cool when Lord Humongous came out that one time, and he was on the Mad Max movie. And that's where they got the Road Warrior name from.
Yeah. I checked it out earlier this week. It was actually pretty good.
Was it? Have you seen the Avengers yet?
I saw the Avengers. It was okay. This movie. I read the first one. But it's got some cool stuff on there. I can't believe they. I guess it's been that long enough to talk about it. I can't believe they killed off Quicksilver.
Did they? I didn't know that. Thank you.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No.
Oh.
I'm one of those when a movie comes out, I go to moviespoiler.com and read the whole rundown. I mean, it's not going to spoil nothing for me, so it's not that big.
Yeah, it's weird that they did that because they had a movie coming out in a few years. And in the comic book, he was married to one of the main Inhumans. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's that. And he also... He also went heel for a while, and he turned on the Avengers. So they could have used him for later down the line, turning on him and joining some other supervillain or doing the Inhuman tie-in. And
I'm looking forward to the next Captain America, the Captain America versus Iron Man series, your movie coming out. I think next year.
They should just call it Avengers.
I know that's what it's gonna. I mean, it's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be like
about
all the superheroes. So. I think even Spider-Man's supposed to be in that one. So.
Yeah, there's a shitload. Basically, all the people from Captain America and Avengers are on.
Yeah.
And shit. We're at 10 seconds, so we'll just go ahead and end the show because my throat is killing me. And
okay.
I need to stop talking here very soon.
Okay.
But everybody come back next week, and hopefully we'll be at our normal time, and we will have something to talk about then. I'm sure Dave Meltzer will cause some kind of havoc, and we will have some new thing to talk about then.
All right.
the man. You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up. I would dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is off to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.